Today on Enduring Word with David Guzik, pastor of Calvary Chapel, Santa Barbara.
When a person gives themselves to God and starts getting things right in their life and God starts moving in their life, there's oftentimes a season when it gets worse before it gets better. And that's why it's very important for you to yield your life to Jesus Christ upon the right basis. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope that nobody has said, I'll yield my life to Jesus, I'll be his follower as long as he makes my life easy and comfortable.
Many of us have probably heard the phrase or term prosperity gospel at some point in our walk with the Lord. This is the notion that upon coming to Christ, our troubles and sorrows are magically removed and life just gets easier. Those of us who have read anything about the persecuted church are quick to realize that this is simply a false notion. In today's message, Pastor David teaches us how our faith in Christ isn't a promise for an easy-going life. In our study, we learn how our path to liberation from sin is met with challenges and trials as we run the race that's set before us. Now, with today's message, here's Pastor David.
When Moses and Aaron first came from the wilderness and announced themselves to the children of Israel, they were very warmly received. Yes! You're our deliverer. Moses, you're the guy. You're the one who's going to go confront Pharaoh. Go, do it. And as soon as Moses does it get better or worse for the children of Israel? Almost immediately, it gets worse. And might I say, much worse. They had much more work to do. They had much more severe punishments. Verses 13, 15, and 16 say that the officers of the children of Israel were beaten. The freedom of all of Israel was the goal in this, and so all of them had to endure this struggle until liberty was gained. It wasn't just Moses. Now, how do you feel about this? Friends, Moses and Aaron weren't the ones being beaten, but it was the common working men, the officers, the leaders, the supervisors of the work. They were suffering most directly for the request that Moses and Aaron had made. And you can just imagine the turmoil, the dispute, how all of this happens in the mind and the heart of the children of Israel. They said, we've done something wrong. This isn't working out the way that we expected. I can just draw a very quick principle to this that's been repeated in the life of many a child of God since the days of Moses in the Exodus. And it's simply this. When a person gives themselves to God and starts getting things right in their life and God starts moving in their life, there's oftentimes a season when it gets worse before it gets better. And that's why it's very important for you to yield your life to Jesus Christ upon the right basis. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope that nobody has said, I'll yield my life to Jesus, I'll be his follower as long as he makes my life easy and comfortable. Because sometimes it's just not going to work out that way. It absolutely will not. And if the measure of your commitment to Jesus is, okay, as long as you work it out the way I want you to, then I'll be committed to you, that's just not going to shake out very good. You're going to find a very similar situation than what the Israelites experienced here in Egypt, where God really was moving. God really was doing something, but at least in the short term, it got worse before it got better. Now, sometimes it just works like that. Sometimes when evil is confronted in the world, when evil is confronted in our lives, it gets worse before it gets better. And I can just imagine the children of Israel crying out to God, saying, what are you doing, Lord? Crying out to Moses, Moses, you've messed everything up. What are you doing? And God looking down from heaven and simply saying this, it's all going according to my plan. Well, no, wait a minute, God. I thought your plan was to make my life comfortable and easy. No, you don't understand. You misunderstand my plan. My plan is to bring liberty into your life and to bring transformation and new life. And sometimes doing that will bring into your life the greatest blessing you can imagine. And other times, it's going to flat out be a struggle. I always feel a little self-conscious talking about this as a pastor and speaking to God's people about it, or perhaps those who are yet to be God's people, because I always wonder, there's two extremes I could go off on that would both be an error. The two erroneous extremes go something like this, is to paint the picture that the Christian life is like some wonderful, you know, walk through the park. There's just daisies and blessings and just wonderful, you know, pennies dropping from heaven and it's just great. There's just this beautiful, oh, it's just wonderful. Nothing but blessing all the time. That would be wrong, wouldn't it? And then there's another extreme I can get off on. The other extreme would be to present it like this. Oh, listen, you come to Jesus, he's going to mess up your life in some way often. No. Can you sympathize with me just for a moment here as a preacher? You see, I just want you to have the right conception that God, as a loving Father in heaven, knows exactly what we need and when we need it. And there are seasons when you need just that blessing poured out from heaven and God gives it to you. And there's other times when you and I, though we may not feel it or choose it, you know what we need? We need the struggle. You need it. It's what God has ordained for your life. And this was a time when Israel, though they did not know it, they needed the struggle. Let's continue on here, verse 15. You'll see what I'm talking about. Then the officers of the children of Israel came and cried out to Pharaoh, saying, "Why are you dealing thus with your servants? There's no straw given to your servants. And they say to us, 'Make brick.' And indeed, your servants are beaten, but the fault is in your own people." But he said, this is Pharaoh's response, "You are idle, idle. Therefore you say, 'Let us go and sacrifice to the Lord.' Therefore go now and work, for no straw shall be given to you, yet you shall deliver the quota of bricks." And the officers of the children of Israel saw that they were in trouble after it was said, "You shall not reduce any bricks from your daily quota." Okay, Moses and Aaron go in and speak before Pharaoh. Pharaoh does not respond kindly. He says, "You guys are idle, you're lazy, I'm going to give you more work to do." So they give more work to the Israelites. They're cracking the whips upon them, literally so. They're suffering terribly under this. And the leaders among the people of Israel say, "Look, let's go appeal to Pharaoh." Good heavens, you know, look, they come very humbly to Pharaoh. They come before Pharaoh in great humility, and they say, "Pharaoh, we are your servants." Did you see them repeat that phrase a couple of times? They cried out to Pharaoh and they said, "Pharaoh, would you please help us?" Ladies and gentlemen, there's something sick here. There's something very sick that the children of Israel in their affliction did not cry out to the Lord. They did not even go to Moses, their God-appointed leader. Instead, they went to the one who put them in slavery to begin with, and they appealed to him to make it better. I take it that you don't have a literal Pharaoh over you, but you may have something close enough. You may have an addiction in your life that is just as requiring of your slavery and your commitment as Pharaoh was of the children of Israel. You may be in such bondage to something spiritually, to something emotionally, maybe even it's physically, that you are in absolute bondage. And I'll tell you how the story goes oftentimes. I can't say that this works in this pattern every time, but it's common enough. Here's how the pattern works often. You're in this bondage. And listen, I could start listing off a dozen things that you could be in bondage to and just hope that it hits you. Why don't you just take it with whatever it is and spare me the list, okay? Just, it's your thing, whatever your thing is. So you're in bondage to this particular thing, and then you know what? You decide, the Holy Spirit works in your heart and just awakens you and prompts you. You got to be free. It's as if Moses has come and spoke to Pharaoh in the name of the Lord, "Let my people go." And you hear it and your heart rings and you go, "Yes." And so you say back to that bondage bringer in your life, that addiction, that torment, whatever it is. You say, "No more. No, I'm done with you. Forget it. It's gone." And you know what? It answers back. It answers back and it says, "I'm going to make the slavery even worse." And then what you do? You go back and look for comfort from the very thing that brought the slavery into your life. You go back to that addiction. You go back to that bondage. You go back to that very thing in a servile way. I'll lick your boots, Pharaoh, if you'll just make it easier on me. I'll forget who I am as a child of the living God, and I'll call you my master. I'm your servant. I'm your servant. It's just degrading. It's wrong. You almost want to cry out to Israel and say, what, do you love your slavery? And that's a complicated question, isn't it? Because when you ask, do you love your slavery? You say, no, yes, no, I don't know. But I know it's very, very difficult. I know what it says in Exodus chapter 2, verse 23. It says that the children of Israel groaned because of the bondage, and they cried out, and their cry came up to God because of their bondage. Yet this is how it worked out. When God allowed and even performed the work of bringing freedom, it made them feel worse, at least for a time. Ladies and gentlemen, are you willing to let God work true freedom in your life, even if it means that for a while it gets worse before it gets better? I hope so. Because I can't tell you how God's going to work in each individual life. Who knows? His working in your life isn't exactly the same as the person next to you. But there's some general principles, are there not? And often, not always, often, God allows it to get worse before he brings it into being better. So when they heard those words from Pharaoh, your idol, it just reflected to them the truth that Pharaoh hated Israel and he wanted them in perpetual bondage. Whatever it is that's holding you in bondage, whether it be an addiction or some sort of other sort of just thing that's just a darkness and a bondage and keeping you away from the liberty and the freedom that you should have in Jesus Christ, whatever it is, let me tell you something, it hates you. It does not want your best. I know it may please you from time to time, but actually it hates you and it wants to destroy you. So here's Pharaoh and Moses and the people of Israel, and the elders or the officers of Israel went and they made their appeal to Pharaoh and they got shot down. And look what happens, verse 20, right as they come out from their meeting with Pharaoh. Then as they came out from Pharaoh, they met Moses and Aaron who stood there to meet them. What an awkward conversation that would have been. So, how'd the meeting go? Moses, ever since you started to help us, we're in worse bondage than ever. Let's start again, verse 20. Then as they came out from Pharaoh, they met Moses and Aaron and stood there to meet him. And they said, let the Lord look on you and judge, because you've made us abhorrent in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants to put a sword in their hand to kill us. The leaders of the children of Israel were not happy when they came from the presence of Pharaoh. And they thought it was all the fault of Moses and Aaron. Matter of fact, they said this in verse 21, let the Lord look on you and judge. They were certain that God was on their side. They were certain that Moses was in the wrong. Why? Verse 21, you have made us abhorrent in the sight of Pharaoh. They believed that that was the wrong that Moses did. You see, when Israel was an obedient slave to Pharaoh, they thought he was their friend. Now that the idea of freedom had entered, Pharaoh showed how he felt about them all along. I'm fascinated by that statement, verse 21. You've made us abhorrent in the sight of Pharaoh. What? Really now, elders of Israel, you used to think he liked you? You used to think that he cared about you? And now that you've grumbled, now that you've made a revolt against his oppression, you're facing some of the blowback and you don't like it. Friends, can I just make a little spiritual analogy here? That Satan sometimes seems friendly to us when we accept his lordship, but when we start to be free in Jesus, then he'll often try to make life difficult for us. Now, listen, Exodus chapter 4, verse 31 says that at one time the children of Israel had a different attitude. This is how they acted when Moses first came to them. Exodus 4, 31, it says, so the people believed, and when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel and that he had looked on their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshiped. You see, when Moses first said, hey, let's get us free from Egypt, they were all like, yeah, let's do it. But now that they're in it and it's difficult, they're saying, we give up. Pharaoh, please just let us be your slaves again. After the counterattack of Pharaoh, the faith, the excitement, all that worship that was described in Exodus 4:31, it was gone pretty quickly. Now, friends, here's the deal. You might think, God, where are you? What are you doing, God? You're messing this whole thing up. Aren't you supposed to give them freedom very quickly? No, no, no. You see, ladies and gentlemen, don't you see that if God had wanted to, he could have freed the children of Israel effortlessly. He goes into Pharaoh, I mean Moses, let my people go. And Pharaoh says, yeah, okay, go. And they just go. In theory, it could have happened that way. But God knew that's not what he wanted for the children of Israel, and it's not what he wanted for Egypt. And we'll see how that plays out in coming weeks. But friends, this is what you have to understand is simply this, that God allowed all of this. This wasn't a flaw. This was the design. God looks down from heaven and he says, all is going according to plan. Now, when I say that and you immediately sort of relate it to your life, all is going according to plan. I understand that for some of you, that's a very difficult thing to hear. And I can't say that with this understanding I know everything that's going on in your life. You say, listen, that tragedy and this person that's very close to me, how can you say that that's according to God's plan? Well, listen, this is what I do know, is that what God wants to do in the aftermath of it, that's certainly according to his plan. Now, I'm not trying to go into the discussion this morning about all the origins of evil and where this comes from and what Satan does and what our fallen world does and what the Lord does, on and on. You know, let's just leave that discussion for another time. It's a worthy discussion, but we'll leave it for another time. But can I just say, whatever despair, whatever misery you may find yourself in the midst in right now this morning, God has a plan in it. And maybe you've lost sight of that. Maybe you've almost appealed to that thing which gives you bondage for relief instead of seeking the Lord God. You see, God wanted to do something greater than bring Israel out of Egypt. He wanted to transform them as a people. He wanted to transform them from a slave people to a people who were fit for his promised land. And in doing that kind of transformation, God allowed this period of stretching. So what do we read next? Well, verse 22, we're going to kind of look at Moses and say, okay, Moses, here you are, the epitome of strength for Israel. You've got the faith. Moses, you've got the power. Well, let's look at it, verse 22. So Moses returned to the Lord and said, Lord, why have you brought this trouble on the people? Why is it that you've sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he's done evil to the people. Neither have you delivered your people at all. Pretty good question he asked in verse 22. Lord, why have you brought trouble on this people? Now, let me say first and foremost, there's something very, very good in Moses' words in verse 22. You know what's good about him? He's confused, he's angry, he's annoyed with what the Lord is doing, and what does he do? He talks to God about it. Did you know that you can do that? Now, I'm going to say something, and I hope you catch it in the spirit in which I say it, because I suppose it's not technically true. So just catch the spirit of what I'm going to say. When you talk to God, you don't have to be on your best behavior. You don't have to be phony. You can tell him how you really feel. If you're really confused and hurt and angry about what you think God is doing, then tell him so. Can I clue you in on something? He already knows. But do you know how beautiful and good it is for you to be honest before the Lord? I wonder if you do that enough. I wonder if you go to that private place where you're out on a walk or you're in a room and you're just around and you feel like you can even raise your voice to God. I said, God, what are you doing, God? I don't get this at all. It was good that Moses felt the freedom to do it. It was good that Moses could say, God, I don't get this at all. What are you doing? You can talk that way to God. He understands. And listen, he'll change your heart as you do it. Because I can tell you how it's worked in my life a lot of times. I have that kind of conversation with God, and I let it all out. And before too long, what am I saying before God? Lord, I'm sorry. I don't know why I wasn't trusting you this way. I don't know why I doubted you again. You've proven yourself to me again and again. But Lord, I'm weak. I'm failing. You can talk that way to God. So Moses did very good in speaking his heart to God, but Moses did wrong in forgetting what God had said. Back in Exodus chapter 3, there at Mount Sinai on the burning bush, God told Moses, Moses, this isn't going to be easy. Pharaoh's not going to let you go easy. And it's like, oh, I forgot all about that, Lord. You see, there's something within Moses and there's something within us that for whatever reason, we want it to be easy. Look, I don't condemn you or myself for that. It's human nature. We're like electricity. We want to follow the path of least resistance. That's just us. We just kind of want to be comfortable and easy. And sometimes we get to thinking that that's God's ultimate plan for our lives. It's not. God's ultimate plan for your life is to bring beautiful transformation and new life in you and to make you into a son or daughter of God, transforming you into the image of Jesus Christ. And listen, there's a lot of comfort and blessing on the road to that, but there's also some real stretching and some real challenge along the way, and maybe God's working that in your life right now. Nevertheless, Moses had to say, verse 22, why is it you've sent me? He's doubting his mission. And then in verse 23, he says, neither have you delivered your people at all. Something in Moses' heart hoped that it would happen all easy. Doesn't that work that way for Moses? Doesn't work that way for us. So as we leave out here from Exodus chapter 5, in a sense, nothing is resolved. But you just wait. In chapter 6, God is going to speak to Moses. But please, can we take away this absolutely critical truth? That when God intends to confront evil, there's a cost involved. When God confronted evil in Egypt, there was a cost involved, and the Egyptians didn't pay all the cost. There were people among the children of Israel who had their backs whipped because God was confronting evil on behalf of the Egyptians. There was a cost to pay. When God confronts evil in the world today, there's a cost. Listen, there's a lot of evil in the world today. There's a lot of human trafficking. There's a lot of slavery. There's a lot of deprivation. There's a lot of oppression. And I praise God that there's thousands upon thousands of Christians reaching out in some way small and in some way great, bringing hope and light and blessing to this world. But listen, when they do it, there's a cost to pay, is there not? But here's the third thing. When God did the greatest job of confronting evil ever, he did it at the cross, and there was a great price to pay for that, was there not? God said, I'll pay the ultimate price to confront evil. So therefore, if there was a price to pay in the confrontation of evil in Egypt, in the world today, and at the cross especially, should it surprise you that when God is doing this transforming work in our life, that sometimes there's a price to pay, and it's not all easy? The war against sin is costly, and Jesus won the battle. But even in our identification with him and in our participation in his victory, it's going to cost us something. May God give us the courage to say, no, Lord, God helping us, Jesus in us, we're going to be courageous and pay that cost. And I pray especially that God will give some encouragement to some discouraged souls this morning.
There's much more Pastor David would like to share with you, but we've run out of time for today. This has been another edition of Enduring Word, the radio ministry of David Guzik, pastor of Calvary Chapel in Santa Barbara, California. Pastor David will continue teaching verse by verse through the book of Exodus next time. You can order today's message for free by emailing us at radio@enduringword.com. Again, that email address is radio@enduringword.com. Sometimes it is just easier to call. Our phone number is 805-730-1400. We'll be happy to help you. Again, that number to call is 805-730-1400. You can learn more about Enduring Word and Pastor David at our website, enduringword.com. All of Pastor David's messages through the Bible are available to listen to or download for free at EnduringWord.com. Again, that's EnduringWord.com. Simply click on the radio option in the main menu. Of course, for many of us, Enduring Word commentaries have been a part of our everyday discipleship. We'd like to encourage you to consider supporting Enduring Word by partnering with us with a one-time gift or monthly donation. Your support helps this program extend its reach worldwide. Well, that's all the time we have for today. From all of the production team here at Enduring Word, we want to say thank you for tuning in. Next time, Pastor David will continue teaching through the book of Exodus, right here on Enduring Word.